Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org. Additional support comes from the Jackson Laboratory, researching the root causes of cancer and other genetic diseases, designated a cancer center by the National Cancer Institute, JAX.org.
Football fans know Rex Ryan as the outspoken head coach of the New York Jets, which franchise he has been credited with reviving. Fans of the ESPN reality-type show Hard Knocks know Coach Ryan as the guy who slings profanities around in connection with such loaded topics as snacks. With the assistance of Don Yeager, Rex Ryan is responsible for an autobiography titled Play Like You Mean It, Passion, Laughs, and Leadership in the World's Most Beautiful Game. When I spoke with Coach Ryan recently, I brought up the fact that his father, Buddy Ryan, was celebrated as an innovative NFL coach, and I asked the Jets mentor if he'd ever considered choosing another career.
You know what? That never occurred to me, that I always wanted to be a coach. And, you know, there's so many times that people will follow in their father's footsteps. And the reason I got into football, I think, number one, is I naturally gravitated to it, and it's just such a great game. But I think the big reason I really wanted to be a coach was because I would see my dad. He would go to work, and he literally could not wait to get to work. And he was so excited about the next week's game. Even if they lost, he couldn't wait to get around his players. And he loved his job. And I think that was something that I saw. And it wasn't just me seeing it. My twin brother got in the same profession. So I think we both saw that.
See, I could see how it might work the other way. With anybody working in a pro sport, a coach or a manager, he'd be away from home so much of the time, mm-hmm. and studying film and, you know, working to try and get that one more thing going right in the team, that families sometimes can really suffer under those circumstances. I would think a kid might say, boy, the one thing I don't want to be is a head coach in the NFL.
You know what? That's probably a true statement. It is tough. It is tough on families. You know, my folks were divorced when I was young and things, but, you know, that there's two kind of coaches' wives, great ones and ex-ones. And and I'm fortunate. I've been married for 24 years, but this is definitely not easy on families, that's for sure. But the life, you know, I've never had a bad job in my life, ever, no matter where I coached. And I coached 8 years of small college football. You know, not exactly the most glamorous places of all time, but I enjoyed every one of my jobs that I ever had.
You have been among the most outspoken NFL head coaches. Has this been part of an effort to take the media attention off your players by getting the cameras to focus on you?
You know, at times that's true. For instance, we're playing New England in the playoffs, and we had just been thumped by New England 6 weeks prior. We got beat 45-3 in one of the biggest, you know, whippings I've ever taken in my life. But I never wanted it to be about everybody talking about how we got beat, you know, 45-3. Why did you get beat 45-3? All that kind of stuff. So instead, I put the challenge to Bill Belichick that I thought the game would come down to his coaching versus my coaching. It was going to be directly on me, and that was it. And then at the end of the game, we found a way to win the game. And I told everybody then that, hey, look, yeah, I was dead wrong. It had nothing to do with my coaching versus Bill's because, quite honestly, we would have lost that matchup. You know, he's the best coach maybe in the history of this sport. So did I do it on purpose? Yeah, I did it on purpose.
Speaking of the relationship between you and Coach Belichick and, by extension, between the Jets and the Patriots, people up here like to talk about how you say that you hate Tom Brady, but I thought the book explained that rather humorously. Tell us a little about that.
Well, that's it. I'm always trying to tweak him because look at this guy. I mean, you look at his life. He's got 3 Super Bowl championship rings. He's married to one of the most beautiful women in the world. He's got kids. He's a tall, handsome man. And all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I hate him, you know. But, and I say that it's like, and I even mentioned, I go, oh, he should be proud of that because it's true. It's not a hate; it's an admiration for him. But I do like to tweak him. That's why I'm always saying that, you know, Peyton Manning prepares more than he does. All this kind of stuff. I do like to get after him. I know how competitive he is. I like to stir it up with him a little bit. And you'll notice, really, if I ever do that, it's with the great ones. You know, it's with Tom Brady. It's with Peyton Manning. Those are the guys that I'll try to stir it up with. But I have a great deal of respect for really all the players that play this game and the coaches that coach it. So it's never, I never really make it a personal thing, but I try to make it personal with the Peyton Mannings and Tom Brady's and all that kind of stuff.
What led you to announce in 2009 that you're dyslexic?
Well, I just think that, I'm one of 32 guys that has, you know, a head coaching position in the National Football League. That's an incredible step. You know, like that's something you should be proud of. And I'm extremely proud of that fact. But I just thought that maybe I could be an inspiration to somebody that's struggling, that's going through the same struggles that I went through when I was a kid, and that let them know that, you know what, I found a way to make it. And maybe they can do the same thing. My line to becoming a head coach in the National Football League, and for that matter, going through school, making it through school, it was not a straight line. It was curvy and all that kind of stuff. Had a lot of obstacles, but I found a way to get it done. And I never discovered the fact that I was dyslexic until I was in my 40s. You know, I never wanted to keep that a secret.
You signed off on the Jets being featured on Hard Knocks, which filmed you during team meetings and other places as well. And you've said that getting the Jets in the paper or on TV is good, whatever the context. But having been criticized for your use of profanity during that program, have you had any second thoughts about cooperating with Hard Knocks?
No, not at all. And I think, you know, number one, I'll do 1,000 interviews, you know, during a season. It's funny, that's probably not an exaggeration. But I never cuss, I never use foul language in any interview. But in that, those are team settings. And I told our team, I said, we're going to be ourselves. So if I was in front of my team, you know, I was going to coach the way I coach and talk the way I talk to my team. I thought it was strange that I was criticized the way I was. You know, like for Tony Dungy, for instance, a guy that I really respect and admire, I was shocked that he would judge me as I looked at it. You know, I'm just an average person, you know, with an incredible opportunity to coach this team. But I'll be darned if I coach it anybody else's way. I may have one shot in my life to be a head coach in this league, and I'm not going to do it somebody else's way. I'm going to do it my way.
Of course, you may not get a chance to do things your way in the fall. If the league and the players don't iron out their differences, next season may not happen. Has the on-again, off-again lockout been frustrating for you as a head coach?
Well, you know, first off, I don't believe that we're going to lose any games. I think we're going to play football, and I really believe strongly in that. And the reason I say that is that, number one, I know ownership wants to have a football season. I know the players want to play a football season. I know our fans want to see a football season. So those three factors, I think, will drive this to getting done. And hopefully we can put all this behind us, and there'll be a great deal, and everybody will get back to playing football. But I really believe that we're going to play football.
It's a sunny kind of view that you have. The players want to play, the owners want to play, the fans want to see the game. But if that were really strictly true, we wouldn't be in this mess, right?
Well, I think, you know, you have guys, trying to make the game better. They have strong opinions about things. Certainly guys with a lot more, you know, on the ball than me. I'm just a football coach. So, you know, and guys that are with a higher pay grade than I have and much smarter about it than me are negotiating these things. But I just think those basic fundamentals are going to bring football to us.
In the book, Don Yeager represents you as saying, and I'm quoting now, make a statement, knock the snot out of somebody, and you intimidate with big, vicious hits. Have the recent revelations about brain damage among former NFL players caused you to rethink that approach at all?
No, I tell you why, because we do things within the confinements of the rules, and that's it. It's still, like, this is still a contact sport. There is no question. I appreciate the fact that we have rules, that our league is looking into protecting our players. I think that's the greatest thing there is. But if you take away the hitting in this league, you don't have near the sport. You know, this is a sport that still takes courage to play. And I think that's part of the beauty of football. And, you know, obviously the rules are changed now to protect the players. You know, it's not like the old days where you can flash, you know, how many fingers up and then you throw a guy back in there. There's a number of tests that the young men have to pass before ever getting the green light to go back out there. So it's quite a process, something that, you know, back in the day, I remember, you know, I got knocked out, you know, had a concussion. The very next week, boy, you're right back in there, you know. So it's a lot different now than it was several years ago. That's for sure, and that's a great thing.
Do you worry at all about your own health?
No, I mean, I've been good. I worried about it a little bit. That's why I actually had that lap band surgery. And, you know, one thing, I want to be healthy. I want to watch my kids grow. I want to see their kids and everything else. So I thought I would get some of this weight off. I think I've dropped like 60 pounds with this lap band surgery. And quite honestly, it's something that I've even thought about calling Commissioner Goodell about. Is we're doing a great job with the concussions and things like that, follow-ups to those things. But, you know, how about the great big offensive linemen, defensive linemen, the sleep apnea, diabetes, and all that kind of stuff associated with being heavy and being morbidly obese? If we can take that away, you know, maybe that this lap band, you know, might be good for others as well.
You better be careful about getting so slender and good-looking. You'll have no reason to hate Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's a great point. Oh, man.
Rex Ryan is the head coach of the New York Jets. He and Don Yeager have recently collaborated on Play Like You Mean It, Passion, Laughs, and Leadership in the World's Most Beautiful Game. He joined me from NPR's New York Bureau. Coach Ryan, thanks very much for speaking with me.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
My conversation with Jets coach Rex Ryan will be featured on this week's program. I'll also be speaking with Jenny Reese, the Louisville Courier-Journal turf writer who has picked the winner of the Kentucky Derby for us each spring without missing a single one. It's time for her to do that again. We'll have a story about a theme park in Abu Dhabi where you can find out what it's like to go from zero to preposterously fast without having to actually be responsible for driving a Ferrari. And, of course, we'll update all the NHL playoff action and we'll review what's been happening in the NBA's second season as well, as it begins to look more and more likely that both the Celtics and the Lakers will be on the golf course when a champion is crowned. So join us and remember you can always hear the program at onlyagame.org.